show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy.
Automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Yeah, there is some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I am Arthur, king of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
hear... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bink had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed, bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that, eh?
That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me?
Oh, but wasn't it charming today as the peasants came out to watch their betters, those useless, overprivileged, miserable wastes of air and breath and space on an overcrowded planet, get nuptialized? Wasn't it just charming to see... These two disgusting examples of the human race rub the world's noses in it. Over 100,000 civil servants in the United Kingdom have been sacked, thrown out on... Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. It's Friday on the front porch. Lighthearted stuff for the end of the week, don't you know? Thrown out on their cans. But hey, watch us get married. Oh, isn't it lovely? Feh. Now, you know what? This has been a rough week for the for-profit media. This has been a very bad week for them. First, we had the for-profit media completely exposed for the shameless spectacle PR machine that they are in the whole Donald Trump birtherism controversy. And then today, oh, Jeebus, then today. You know, I can't help it. I wake up early in the morning. The kids have to get off to school, and the alarm goes off, and Agnes has this alarm that sounds like a submarine dive signal. Oh, it's awful. I have nightmares. But I got up. I had to get out of here in a hurry. And the alarm hadn't gone off at the proper time because the power blinked. And I had to get down to Whitesville for a meeting. I've been to Whitesville and back today. And I woke up and just as a matter of habit, turned on the idiot box to see what was happening in the world today. And this wave of nausea rolled over me, because nowhere could I get away from that disgusting, embarrassing thing in England. Oh, she's got a lovely dress on, doesn't she? Oh, I imagine that cost as much as the wages of several of those poor sobs that have been sacked of late. Oh, but it's beautiful. And Prince William is dressed in the what was that? That red and black costume he was wearing, Royal Warwickshire Wankers or something. I guess you have to be grateful for small favors. At least he didn't show up in the official uniform of the Hur and Goering Division, seeing as how he has a penchant for dressing like, well, he and his brother, a penchant for dressing like Nazis once in a while. That Nazi streak runs through that filthy family. So I started clicking madly, please, Jesus, mercy, anything. CBS, that thing in England. ABC, that thing in England. NBC, that thing in England. CNBC, that thing in England. MSNBC, that thing in England. Fox, that thing in England. So I thought, well, maybe they're doing local weather or something. And I went down to NBC and they were in their news break. And then they came back from the B-roll, and there sits, I kid you not, I wish I was lying to you, there sits one of the bobbleheads from the local TV station down in Huntington, this moon-faced little goober named Rob Johnson. No, really. And he's wearing a tux! And his bobble-headed, bleach-blonde co-host is sitting there in some sort of, I don't know, fancy get-up, with, you know, accessorized in completion with fully clutchable pearls. Ha! About hurt myself with my decaf. Sweet Jeebus. I mean, really. And then the weather guy, after, it looks like some of the remaining winds of the tornado may be headed our way. Look for some high winds today. And they pull back from the national weather map, and that schmuck's in a tux. All the for-profit media in America were goddamned well determined that we would goddamn well watch those goddamn royals and their goddamn wedding. You couldn't get away from it. I tried. Oh, look, here, at QVC. And QVC is selling silly hats. Yeah, okay. Hey, wait a minute. Okay, this is America, right? This is America. I'll go to the Hunting and Fishing Channel. Shit! There's a couple of bubbas with belted tweed jackets and 12-gauge shotguns talking with phony accents and hunting partridges. In a last desperate attempt to get away from those filthy, godforsaken anachronisms from the 10th century, I went to the Cartoon Network. And there was Granny Kryler of the Squidbillies wearing the Kryler family satellite dish on her head. It's too much. It was just too damn much. And as far as I'm concerned, the for-profit media in this country are dead. Really. They had, this week, between that thing in England and Donald Trump, and really, when you get right down to it, is there, what the hell's the difference between Donald Trump and those people? Not much that I can see. They're both useless, largely ignorant, live like lampreys or ticks or leeches off of the work of others, couldn't survive on their own, and spend other people's money. Oh, God, it was like a nightmare. But what I found fascinating, absolutely fascinating, was the dogged determination, the absolute junkyard dog with its jaws around a neck insistence that America bow a knee of fealty to that filthy gang. Yeah, that's true, Tim from L.A. Even leeches have a purpose. You certainly can't say that about the House of Windsor. And that miserable right-wing turd, Joe Scarborough, had Catty Kay of the BBC on all week. And when she got... I thought she was going to go into some sort of sexual ecstasy every time she said, "And we won't be able to call her Kate anymore. We'll have to call her Her Royal Highness. And Her Royal Highness, she comes from coal miners." The way she said coal miners, it made it sound like she was saying she comes from people who eat shit through a straw. If they'd said coal miner one more time, I was expecting... Never mind what I was expecting. You can hear what I was expecting. Yeah, this.
Well, I was born a coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. Poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made.
He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy worked all night in the band near coal mine. All day long in the field hoeing corn. Mommy rocked the baby that night and read the Bible by the coal oil light. And everything would start all over come break of morn. Mommy scrubbed our clothes on a washboard every day. Well, I've seen her fingers bleed to complain there was no need. She'd smile in Mommy's understanding way. In the summertime, we didn't have shoes to wear.
Yeah, it was coal miner's daughter. She comes from coal mining stock. God almighty. You know, I have never... this is the people's wedding. And the prince is marrying a commoner. Well, I'll be damned if I've ever seen a commoner show up anywhere around here in a freaking Rolls Royce. And the best part was when Katy Kay explained to Joe Scarborough, who said something like, well, if I ever met the Queen, reminded me of an old joke my dad used to tell about an Aussie he met during the Second World War. They called him Ansem Airy with the Albany. And it was the queen this and the queen that and the queen this and the queen that. And finally one of my dad's shipmates said, oh, piss on the queen! And Ansem Airy with the Albany looked and said, say that, mate. You couldn't do that. Or you couldn't even approach her. Father loved to tell that story. And I got my loathing for royalty from him. My father figured every human being on the planet had a lot in had certain things in common that everybody just kind of has to do, and that in those moments we recognize that we're all of the same stock. But at some point in time, Katy Kay said, "No, no, Joe, you would have to refer to her as Your Royal Highness." The first time, and then the second time, you would say, Mom, like from, not ma'am, like ham. Mom, like from. And I sat there thinking, wait a minute. He's a free man. He's an American. He doesn't even have to dip his Neanderthal brow toward that old octogenarian bag of bones. My people goddamn well fought and died to make sure he wouldn't have to. But the for-profit media were utterly determined to try to gin up some sort of give-a-damn for that bunch of useless... the very idea that someone would think that because of where or how or who they were born, that they were better than someone else on the planet... By the year 2011 CE, or 2764 ab urbe condita, have we not yet figured out that that's just a big stinking lie that people who want to be royal tell to the rest of us so they can rob us effing blind? What happened to the roots of this nation? Well, I think we covered a lot of that on Monday with Dr. Bill's lecture, didn't we? Yeah, we did. But there was a time in the United States of America when George Washington was offered a crown. And like Caesar of old, he rejected it repeatedly because he was determined that this young nation would not be polluted with the filthy ideas of nobility and royalty. Regardless of how we came to it, the nation itself was founded on structures that were rooted in ancient Greece and ancient Rome. Cultures that held up tyrannicides as national heroes. Culture, you know, the Roman Republic, on which this Republic was largely modeled, was tacitly, absolutely founded upon a rejection of kings and royalty. And we have forgotten all of that. We have forgotten it all. Got a note from John Fox a minute ago. More than a little creepy. Via Raw Story, UK cops arrest professor for planning zombie wedding, mock execution during royal ceremony. This is a black, the monochrome line drawing, invitation to the zombie wedding. Over a dozen British police officers engaged in a pre-crime arrest of a university professor and a street theater group yesterday in what activists called a Minority Report-style crackdown ahead of the royal wedding. Professor Chris Knight, 68, a former anthropology lecturer at the University of East London, had planned to engage in a bit of street theater with a group of activists that were dressed in medieval garb. According to reports, the group had constructed a fake guillotine and planned to stage a mock execution of Prince Andrew Edward, the Queen's second oldest son. A member of the group who was not arrested told The Guardian that the other two activists police roped in were Camilla Power and Patrick McCroydon. The police apparently learned of the activists' plans through the ubiquitous surveillance network that now wraps the United Kingdom like a cocoon, and then staged the arrest outside Knight's home in southeast London last night before the wedding got underway. A police spokesman said they were arrested for suspicion of conspiracy to cause public nuisance and breach of the peace. Before they even did anything. Oh, they had a website. The website said, "Right Royal Orgy, Rumpy Pumpy and Guillotines. We'll have a spanking new working guillotine which will be surrounded by all manner of Rumpy Pumpy on the duvet day of all duvet days by order of the government of the dead. Some cuts are necessary. May royal heads roll." The group added that their street theater would be a non-terrorist event. Isn't it interesting, the news that came out recently that says that the single greatest haven for so-called Al-Qaeda is London? London, with its cocoonery of electronic surveillance of peaceable, law-abiding citizens, and yet somehow some 30% of all of Al-Qaeda has found its way there. Oopsie. He's a former professor, Professor Knight is, because he lost tenure at the University of East London in 2009. That's because he said things ahead of the G20 meeting in London that management objected to. What did he say? He told a BBC radio station, "We're going to be hanging a lot of people like Fred the Shred from lampposts on April Fool's Day, and I can only say let's hope they are just effigies. To be honest, if he winds us up anymore, I'm afraid there will be real bankers hanging from lampposts, and let's hope that that doesn't actually have to happen." That's just too dangerous. Certainly more dangerous than the 30% of all of Al-Qaeda residing in the city of London. The best part of the whole thing was the flyover of some World War II aircraft, two Spitfires, I don't know, maybe one of them was a Hurricane, and a bomber. Reminiscent of the good old days when Dresden was bombed into a massive fireball that roasted every living thing, and Dresden not even a wartime city. But that caused me to think that, you know, the person who got them through World War II was Winston Churchill. And he was half American. His mama was American. Apart from being fodder for occasional highly costumed biopics, what are those people good for, those so-called royals good for? Nothing. Not nothing. A lot of stuff to go into on this Friday on the front porch. But I had to get that off my chest. Ron and Raleigh noting, "Hey, Bob, tell us how you really feel. I haven't caught a glimpse of any of this. I'm going to say this in an attempt at comedy. They seem like two nice kids, and I hope they avoid tragedy in their lives. I guess I'm just a sucker for happy endings. Also, they had no control of any of this hype." Some they did. You know why? You know why this all this hype went down when it did? Because the Queen wanted it over with as quickly as possible because she didn't want it to interfere with her diamond goddamn jubilee. Royalty in the 21st century, we still are accursed with royalty. It's hard not to think of François Diderot who said mankind will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest. Hear, hear, Francois, hear, hear. So we'll come back, do a few more announcements, take your calls. It's Friday on the front porch. Let's get the conversation started. You know the number. Couple of calls in the queue already. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. I'm looking forward to it. This is the horn. One of the things I noticed before I had to hit the road was a Facebook comment I got from our buddy Aaron in Wisconsin, who said that, get this, of all places, Wisconsin Public Radio was trying to convince listeners that conservatives stood up for the working man while it was the liberals who were in love with the royalty. Upside down world, and welcome to it. You know, you could take the Windsor fortune, which is among the largest on earth, and not a single soul who was cashiered, sacked, dumped as a result of these so-called austerity programs, which are little more than legalized robbery for the rich against the poor. You could take the Windsor fortune and you could keep every person that was dumped working. Almost in perpetuity. Give the queen a nice little flat, teach her to cook, and get the let the rest of those worthless vermin go out and get a job like the rest of us. Because it is the 21st century, and the 21st century should have no room for royalty in it. Should it? this shameless attempt by the for-profit media, in which they surrendered all claim to legitimacy forever and ever and ever, amen, to get the American people to latch on to the idea of royalty. See, that's the thing. Freedom, real freedom, is work. It requires, as we were, as the framers and founders and so forth noted, it requires constant vigilance. And I'm not talking about the so-called vigilance of a bunch of idiotic teabaggers. Constant vigilance, constant participation, constant engagement in one's country, in one's state, one's county, one's township, and one's family, and especially in one's self. Stay engaged. Stay alert. Watch your back. Help your neighbor. And that's just too hard, I suppose, for a lot of people who would rather have someone say to them, well, you know, I am better than you, so I need a big chunk of your money that you work to earn, so that every now and then we can get out the Royal Landau of 1905 and rub your little prole nose in it so you'll remember your place. And I only say this because I'm an American. And I really did have family who shed blood to get shed of Victoria's grandfather, George III, who wanted to work their ground, live their lives, struggle. They knew what they were up against. Jesus, they were Scots. Scots-Irish. They just wanted to be left the hell alone. That's where some of that get the good men off my back business comes from. You know, it is. It's a bunch of Scots-Irish. But so many of us today, and it is depressing, are willing to look away from our own lives, from our own due diligence, from the vigilance we owe the Republic, and get lost in a spectacle of worthless people rubbing the world's noses in it. Got some Trump stuff later. I got an email from Scott in Sweden that I simply have to read, and a couple of other things as well. An announcement. Hallelujah. Closed out the show last night, $800 away from making April's fundraising goal. I'm proud to say that as of this show right now, we are only $400 away. We, working together, can accomplish many things and great ones. And that is ever so inspiring, and thank you to everyone. Thank you to everyone who made those sacrifices to make that happen. Just 40 more people, $10 apiece, and we're there for April. Wow. It can be done. It can be done. I had an email, and I am going right to the phone, so please don't run away. I try to send out an email thanking people when contributions come in. And I sent out one last night to Jerry. I'll just use first names. And he wrote back the nicest note. Bob, you inspire me a lot. There is a very specific reason for my contribution. You, sir, are the only commentator I have heard use the Japanese pronunciation of Fukushima. I see language as an opportunity to celebrate culture and knowledge. Or maybe I'm just a language Nazi. No, the Nazis got married this morning. It's interesting that NHK English, you know, the Japanese broadcaster, NHK English uses the incorrect pronunciation we hear from every other commentator. You know, whether it's Cutesy Couric or Brian Williams or any of those other idiots. Fukushima. It just sounds redneck, and you just know it's wrong. But NHK Japanese says it correctly. Fukushima. Small matter, but greatly appreciated as we sink into the toxic morass of ignorance and xenophobia. Here are a couple of not-so-small matters that bother me very much about the Fukushima coverage. When the Obama administration announced the nuclear renaissance a couple of years ago, they said the new generation of reactors would not have containment vessels as it is now mature technology. Asks Jerry, is this still the plan? And because of the information clampdown, one really doesn't know, does one? Two. Nuclear power proponents claim it has no carbon footprint, and this allegation goes unchallenged in debates. I have it on the most reliable authority that the majority of the electrical output of the TVA is employed in the uranium enrichment process. What is the ratio of energy expended to enrich the fuel to the energy delivered in the reactor? Darn fine question. Thanks again for all you do. Signed, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Notes like that are just inspiring as heck. Okay, I'll work on my my who sound with a slight F, Tim, from L.A., but I'm pretty darn sure it's not Fukushima. No. So there's that, and like I said, I gotta get to this email this evening, from Scott in Sweden, and a couple of others as well. But let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Sometimes you have to call early. I actually tried last night, and I made the mistake of calling late, and I was on for 2 hours. I thought people were gonna drop off, and they didn't.
Oh, sorry.
And if you learned.
Get in early.
Yeah, I know that. There you go. The whole thing with the royal wedding, I think Morrissey summed it up best. I don't know if you caught this quote, what he said. He said, the royal family, why would I pay attention to that? Let's just end this right now. They are benefit scroungers.
Yeah, the House of Windsor is the ultimate welfare queens.
And someone else made the comment that what the Queen was wearing for the outfit for the royal wedding reminded them of Jim Carrey in The Mask. So me. And they showed, like, the comparison. It's like, oh, my God, it's so close. The same. So what this proves is that the Queen is a big fan of zoot suits. There you go.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, then there was the... I don't think there's any doubt left but that the horrible hat competition was won going away by one Beatrice, daughter of Fergie. And I'm not talking about Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas.
I didn't see that one. I saw the Spice Girl, that hat, and that to me is, that has to be in the runnings for the worst hats.
Oh, no, if you didn't, no, you just got to Google it. Apparently, Beatrice was channeling her inner Gaga. She had eye makeup on that was apparently laid on with, I don't know that it was eye makeup. It may have been Sharpie. And then this straight up and down hat with a little nose piece that came down over her nose like some sort of superhero. And it was this big, stupid bow. That's all it was. I think I did see one little, cutaway. I think I saw Scarlett Johansson eating peanuts in the audience.
Well, there you go. It's a stylish So you're still watching Joe Scarborough, huh? You just can't turn away from that.
Well, it's that or the woman with the talking thing on her face on CNN.
Not to make too much of a point of this, but couldn't you just put on the Kindle and listen to a book from Robot Hal?
I'm sorry, Bob. I won't read to you today. The royal wedding is on.
Today's book
I'm busy.
Is the Overton Window by Glenn Beck. Yeah, don't get up, Bob.
You're waking up. You're kind of shaking the cobwebs out. You want a little bit of visual stimulation because God knows I'm not getting any from the decaf. And there you go.
So this has to be the week of the biggest political crazy of the year. It has to be.
Oh, this is the week that the for-profit media dropped 10 and punted. You know, on it.
I think they got pretty much everything they wanted. They want to make politics into the biggest circus possible. They want. I bet you people in wrestling are like, God damn it, they're taking away coverage from us.
Yeah.
And or they're trying to make deals. Can we get somebody to actually wrestle? Is there anybody with a wrestling ability? Can we get them signed up yet, or is it too soon? Get the scripts out and start working on that. The thing about it is that, well, first off, Mr. Tornadoes, you're supposed to go to the Trump Towers, not Alabama, the Trump Towers.
Yes, absolutely.
And and here's the other thing. I want a certificate of authenticity that was an F5. How do I know that's an F5, Bob? Because somebody tells me it is? Because they rate it? I want a certificate now. Show the proof. The grading of that's important. The grading of a hurricane, that's important for me.
You know, how are we supposed to know how to respond otherwise, right, David?
Yeah, I mean that's part of the problem with it. And the whole thing about the Trump issue, and people were talking about, Obama had to do this, and I was reading on some Red Stater type blog. And one of the people made the comment that by Obama doing this, it shows more doubt in the public. And when you show more doubt in the public, that means after everything that they've thrown, you know, it's like the spaghetti theory. Everything you throw at the wall, it doesn't stick. But eventually something's going to stick if you keep throwing it. And I think we just witnessed one of the all-time cons in political theater. That probably a lot of the right wingers, they can say, you know, this is I don't agree with it at all. It's shameful. You know, we've never questioned Barack Obama's birth certificate or his origin of birth, and they can just keep talking about that because it'll be a constant conversation. Now, I don't know how it's going to play into the electorate or anything, but I know you saw the poll numbers for New Hampshire for Romney.
No. Yeah.
But then again, New Hampshire has been, is slowly but surely being libertarianized.
Well, yeah, but New Hampshire's always... Yeah, New Hampshire's always had that sort of cranky, weird streak.
I still say this has to be the year of the Libertarian Party coming out full blown, because I saw that they had I don't know if you caught this, but John Stossel hosted a pretend debate with Ron Paul and the imitation Obama imposter.
Oh, that must have been every bit as much fun as dental work.
Well, you know what's funny? He looked like Obama, but he had the most squirrely type Obama on helium voice, and you realize that, well, you know what, that guy should have been smoking, and then he might have been dead on with the voice.
Yeah, well, and also that it was a bit.
Yeah, his voice was too high-pitched, and basically they just had Ron Paul debate this squirrely, very, very much looking like Obama imposter, and I found that kind of interesting, the fact that they're giving a That they're giving time. I think what they're doing is they're giving time to Ron Paul, and then at the last minute they're going to be like, "You were nice, thanks for coming. Hey, Romney, Buddy, love the hair. Get out of here. that's what I
think. Well, did you hear about Trump's little swear fest?
I heard about this. He would swear to China.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he'd drop the F bomb. I've got the audio here in a little bit.
It makes you wonder, though.
And the oatmeal dribblers in the audience just clapped like crazy.
It makes you wonder if, and I still think that Donald Trump, because he's working with World News Daily, and because he's working with Joseph Farah, and because he's had meetings with Jerome Corsi, I can't help but think that this guy, I'm going to run seriously for president. I can't help that when you have those two people in your corner. When you have those two people in your corner, I don't see it. I don't see them be like, yeah, Donald Trump, he's a serious candidate. I just don't see it.
Hey, you want to hear something you're going to love? You mentioned Jerome Corsi.
Yeah.
This is one of those right-wing press releases that I'm forever getting.
yeah.
After the surprise release by the White House of what it claims is Barack Obama's long-form birth certificate, an author challenging Obama's legal eligibility to be president, whose upcoming book has become a number one bestseller a month before its release, how's that happen exactly, summarizes his response to today's events in two words: Obama blinked.
Ah.
Public pressure finally forced Obama to do what he did today. Now the game begins, said Jerome Corsi. Nixon thought he could stop the Watergate scandal from unfolding by releasing a few tapes. All that did was fuel the fire. That's right. Barack Obama's birth certificate is exactly the same as Richard Nixon urinating all over the Constitution of the United States. It's exactly the same.
You know, Bob, I was thinking about this. You know what they want to do? They want to cut down Obama's family tree with a chainsaw and then sell off the lumber. I was seeing today in the Daily Mail that they were someone showed me this article that they were they were questioning who his father was. Did you see this yet?
Oh, because it says African.
No. They were questioning who his father was because of, was it George Obama? Or they had like four people, they had like three different suspects of people.
Oh, God.
His uncle.
I think it's fair to ask the question, did President Obama really think this would put the issue to rest?
You know what? I think they had a talk, and I think they thought, and this is the problem with a lot of progressives, and I'm sorry, but this is a serious problem. Didn't they laugh off the Kerry thing? I think they did. I think you did. I think progressives.
Yes, they did. John Kerry refused to respond to the Swift boat attack for months on end.
And you thought that book, Unfit for Command, was just trash. You were right on that it was trash. But you should have paid attention to who co-authored that book.
Yeah. Well, remember, John Kerry got the nomination and then went windsurfing.
Yeah. John O'Neill co-authored that book. And if you went back to the debate videos, which you can see on YouTube, you can see what kind of squirrely character John O'Neill was with the debate with John Kerry. And the fact that he teamed up with Jerome Corsi. See, as soon as that happened, as soon as that was in the D.C. rumor mill, you should have been planning a counterattack. But the Democrats, they never do that. You think just because someone comes out with some gossip rumors that it's funny and that you can just laugh it off. But you see, the problem with that is eventually you're going to get wounded by it because we live in a sensationalist country now. You don't live in a fact-based country. That's gone. The facts are in National Enquirer, and that's what people are looking for, their facts.
Yeah.
They want that byline that has a gun.
No. If you were listening, I guess it was last night, wasn't it, when Sandra and I were talking about the fact that Susan Rice, Obama administration ambassador to the UN, is now citing information published in a British tabloid with regard to Libya. So, yeah, lots of people get their information from the Inquirer and the Sun. You know, one of the greatest crimes against journalism was committed when the Weekly World News stopped publishing a hard copy dead tree edition. You know, my world has not been complete since I could, now that I can no longer go through the grocery store line and see pictures of, you know, Barack Obama shaking hands with the alien who rigs the election every 4 years.
And
or Robin the Bat Boy.
And see, that's the problem. The problem with Obama coming out, and I'm sure he had every good intention, and they laugh it off. They laugh off their detractors, which they shouldn't laugh off. They should pay attention to Jerome Corsi. They should pay attention to his books. They should pay attention to World News Daily. And they should pay attention to how much email and radio airtime and what kind of coordination they do. They're not jokes, people. They're not jokes. They're killers.
Yeah, they are. And the focus of their ire is you, me, and everybody with half a brain or more.
And
they're zombies. They're brain eaters.
Exactly. I mean, I tend to believe, and this might be the toaster quote, I think, as I start to see more pictures of Jerome Corsi, more recent pictures, that he's going to become a killer tomato because he keeps getting redder and redder and redder. I'm just waiting for him to just roll out and start attacking random liberals.
Why not?
I mean,
why not? I mean, there's obviously no consequences.
Yeah, there is no consequences with this guy, and you know.
I mean, now that thing in England is over with, it'll be back to all Trump all the time on the for-profit media by the time Monday gets here, if not sooner.
And here's the other thing about these guys at World News Daily and all of these types of the strategy and the coordination. Jerome Corsi's not doing an interview until May 15th. There's a reason for it.
May 18th.
But the reason for it is they want to continue pushing the narrative of this story, but they don't want to push. They want to push different narratives, like when.
Well, what else happens around May 18th, David?
You're going to have to refresh me on that one.
The last episode of The Apprentice.
You know what? That's interesting that coincides with that. And the fact that Joseph Farrar and Jerome Corsi both talk to Trump on regularly.
Think there might be a little campaign coordination going on here? Most of that's probably in violation of various, you know, six dozen rules from the Federal Election Commission. But, you know, they're Republicans. Rules? We don't need a stinking rules.
Unless, I mean, I've always thought that people like Farrar and Corsi are basically the clandestine strategists for the GOP, and they get the clowns out of the way.
Well, look at, you know, that stupid press release, which has already rocketed to number one on Amazon a full month before it's due to be released. No, really, how's that happen?
Yeah, I mean...
That's because World Nut Daily... And the American Enterprise Institute and the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation and the Foundation for American Values and the Foundation for Children Who Love Jeebus and all these other right-wing think tanks have purchased a boatload of these things, which you will see in another 2 months in the little rack in the back of the store at your local Dollar General.
It's interesting who's come out. You know, Phil Hartman, I mean, Tom Hartman recently had Philip Berg on, the guy who started the birth of, he just had him on this week, of the birth of lawsuits. And he said, and again, this is all part of the rumor strategy. If you're laughing about the birth of thing, you're not seeing the whole picture. They don't care about that.
I'm not laughing. I'm madder than hell.
They just care about putting another rumor, tacking another rumor to another rumor to another rumor. To make people feel this sense of...
Release the grades. The game is on now.
Yeah, the game has just started. I mean, good Lord. I dread to see what's going to happen, what the rumor web will look like come fall of 2012 or the fall of this year.
Alabama's having a vulnerable time. Barack Obama probably went to Alabama and raped white women.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I guess the U.S. Intel has tried to find information on that Libya rumor you told me about, and they can't find the source of it, Bob.
Yeah, that's because there isn't one. It's made up. It was in a tabloid.
And again, that's what's happening. The
actual source is some guy in Abadjia.
Yeah.
I'm much better with Japanese place names. Thank you. Who said, they were brutally raping our women, and I saw them taking Viagra.
Oh.
No proof. No nothing. Just naked, you know, naked assertion. Sort of like, they are ripping the newborn babies off of the prenatal care and throwing the babies out the window in Kuwait City. Oh, it is terrible. When it never happened.
So the question is are they going to, do you think they're going to get his school records now because they pushed that much? Do you think that they'll give in to that?
You know, I'd like to say, oh, hell no. I mean, surely to God they've learned by now that this is not being done in good faith. Which makes me say, you know, they'll probably release his elementary school records, and we'll reopen the debate about whether or not that place in Indonesia was a freaking madrasa. Because you know they're still pushing that one too. You know, yeah. Fox News and Steve Doocy said, "Well, you know, he went to a madrasa." When actually the truth of the matter was, he went to first grade wearing a madras shirt. Or something equally inane. But they're still pushing it. I mean, good golly. You remember the Clinton administration, don't you, David?
Yeah.
Remember the MENA airport? Remember the Clinton Chronicles?
I remember that.
To the moment that Bill Clinton left office, hell, even afterward, you know, Flush Flembaugh was still making a cottage industry out of saying, my friends, don't get in Hillary Clinton's way. She has a string of dead people behind her that you don't even want to think about.
And don't forget, Hillary Clinton, she started the birther thing. She's all to blame. All the Pumas, they're all to blame. That's who they love to pin it on. With actually no proof whatsoever.
None. But then again, what proof was there when the Clintons left the White House that the evil Democrat liberals had stolen all the W's off of all the keyboards in the White House? Remember that one?
Yeah, that one was especially good.
And they went hog wild in Air Force One. Oh, they just wrecked it.
And they got all their chumps all excited over practically nothing. Or actually not practically nothing. Actually nothing.
Yeah. And so, is there any reason to believe or to hope or to think that they're going to stop now? I think the simple answer is no.
No, they're not going to stop. And the problem is that a lot of people think that the more and more you continue to, and I disagree with this completely because I really don't know how many I don't really want to know the number, Bob. If someone said, here's the number of how many people are in doubt of the president right now, I don't think I would look at that number. Because I probably would just shake my head and say, I don't think it was that much.
Oh, it's fully half of the Republican Party.
Yeah, it's full.
Remember the survey in New Jersey a year or so ago, David? 27% of people surveyed in New Jersey say that they're not sure, but they think Barack Obama is probably the Antichrist.
Well, now
I'm not making that up. That really happened.
Well, now here's the question. How many people do you think of the general public who don't follow politics who are going to be voting in the next election have some misgivings or uneasiness about who this president really is now? How many chumps? That's the question. How many chumps outside who do not follow politics whatsoever, who don't really make a political statement in their lives, are going to pull that lever and say, I can't vote for Obama? I guess we're going to find out.
Sadly, we will. And it's that key phrase that you used a minute ago that just sends me into paroxysms of pants-wetting fear. People who don't follow politics, who vote.
Yeah, there seems to be more and more as the days, months, and years progress. And one last thing before I go, I do have to say that the coverage of, I don't know if you saw Haley Barbour on CNN. Did you see that today?
No, I was gone all day.
Oh, you would have laughed because he thanked the federal government for doing a great job.
Yeah, no wonder he's not going to run for president with a platform like that. You know, he couldn't get a Republican vote.
I was like, huh? So you really think the federal government does a really... Oh, Jesus. You really do think the federal... Well, that's great. Thanks for giving the federal government a hand at a press conference after a natural disaster that was hit in your...
I did, however, hear Robert Bentley, the governor of Alabama, giving his stiff upper lip address. And it went something like this, David. The people of Alabama are strong people. Mm. And they're going to bounce back better than ever, excepting for the dead ones. Well, I added the excepting for the dead ones part. People of Alabama are strong people, and they're people who believe in helping each other. And they're going to bounce back and be better than ever. But see, the thing is, it's not the people of Alabama helping each other. It's people from California. It's people from New York and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Chicago.
They want to make it look like they're doing it on their own.
Ah, we're picking ourselves up by our own bootstraps.
They're self-made humanitarians, Bob. Self-made. They can do it. They don't need help from no one.
Nope. People in Alabama are strong people, and we help
except
each other out.
Except the federal government.
Yeah, except the dead ones.
Thanks for doing that work, guys.
Yeah, they built that dam, and they built them highways, and they built that there Redstone Arsenal, and that NASA thing. Well, you know what NASA is? NASA's just an ongoing attempt to prove that God don't exist.
Oh yeah, one last note. I did think of this the other day. I believe if NASA gets sold, the first people to jump on that are going to be the NASCAR Association. Because they want those flying, racing spaceships, Bob, and they want them completely with the stock car logo stickers all over it.
Every tile, every heat.
When they see those spaceships go up, they go, God damn, that's a lot of space you could use for advertising.
Make that one fuel tank that falls back to Earth, make that thing just blink all the way.
There ain't no Exxon there. Goddamn, you could use so many. You could have Johnson & Johnson right there. Look at all this space.
Or DuPont right. Automotive paints like the Rainbow Warrior Jeff Gordon had on his car.
I swear to God, that's the direction we're going in. It has to be. That's how we're going to pay for our trip to Mars.
Mars needs Republicans.
They do, and they also need NASCAR space shuttle. Space shuttle racing cars, I guess.
Space shuttle racing.
That's going to be an awesome, awesome.
Talk about the ultimate race in which all you have to do is turn left. You know, that's orbiting the Earth, right?
Yeah. I think we're headed into Douglas Adams territory now.
Well, you know, it's interesting you had mentioned Douglas Adams because I got a note from our buddy Joe Ray a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you ask what good is the royal family for? According to Douglas Adams, they are doing a perfect job as a royal family. As you have described the news coverage, they are doing a splendid job in distracting the unwashed masses from those that really run the show.
And there it is. The universe sinks together and brings us that great moment.
Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you a question. We've got a request in from our buddy Lee in Texas.
Yeah.
Because I've tried to find where I wrote it down the other night, and apparently it was on a brain cell on a piece of paper that are no longer here. Mm-hmm. The name of the AIPAC documentary the other night.
Oh, The Israel Lobby. Pretty good documentary, about an hour. And the other one that I can recommend that I also watched is on the one guy fighting against the AIPAC lobby in Alan Dershowitz is it just came out, I think, recently. I'm sure Preston's seen it. Is American Radical with Norman Finkelstein. And that's a real eye opener because it shows you how they do a takedown of a university teacher. And just to end this on a note where you can just think about it. He sacrificed his teaching job at least two times. One time at Hunter School, where he's only making $19,000 a year, and they still couldn't take the fact that he was arguing about Israeli aggression, and Hunter just had to let him go because of the pressure of AIPAC and the pro-Israeli craziness of what all surrounds it. But it's a really eye-opening documentary. So to the person who suggested that, I would check out The Israel Lobby and American Radical back-to-back, because those as bookends, that gives you a real look into what's going on when it comes from the AIPAC.
Well, and speaking of dummied-up videos and Breitbart, he's at it again. Caroli posted this over at Crooks and Liars earlier today. Breitbart it again. Big government uses deceptively edited video to smear university professors. See, this stuff is coordinated.
I know.
And big government, of course, is Breitbart's stupid little penny ante website. He claims to have video showing union thugs teaching union thug tactics in college classrooms to children with impressionable minds. There's only one problem. It's all a lie.
Once again, people keep missing it, and this, just to end on this, people keep missing. If you're listening right now and you think just because you exposed something, you didn't expose it. See, what happened is they were there before you first. It's like Inception. They incepted the idea originally. So the originator of that idea, no matter how foul or how ugly or how grotesque you think it is, they got to it first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah.
Well, Bob, as always, I will talk to you later, and I guess we'll have to talk about...
No, and episode 3 was quite enjoyable.
Episode 3, yeah, but you saw how they injected the skulls and the sword. The sword with the watermelon was hilarious.
Well, that was a freaking long sword.
That was Monty Python. He's like, sling the sword around, sling the sword around.
But beyond that, no, the Romans were noted as having originated and invented something called the gladius.
Yeah.
The gladius was a short sword. It wasn't even 2 feet long, and it was great because it was razor sharp down both edges, but it was short, so you could just jab, 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 jab from behind your shield. This thing was damn near a Scottish claymore.
Well, I will end it on this note. It was obviously that guy wanted to show his medieval penile extension.
And it was that. And there we were today in that thing in England with all those those guys on horseback riding very erectly, holding their swords straight up because, by God, if one of those commoners steps out in the road, you're going to chop him in freaking two like a watermelon. Skewer him like shish kebab.
It's going to be an interesting year already. I can see that.
Oh, I think it's going to be lots of interesting. Yeah.
Well, as always, Bob, nice talking to you.
All right, you too, David. Take care.
All right, later.
Bye now. Pop culture correspondent and, I've been talking to David for a long time, and it's neat to chart the way people grow and expand their horizons. He started out as pop culture correspondent David, but God, he's so much more now. So much more. It's just amazing, and it happens all over the place. all over the horn. Conversation after conversation after conversation. So it's about 15 past the hour. We'll take a break, come back to more of your calls. Lines open. Friday on the front porch. What David said, he wasn't kidding. Get in early, get in line, and get in the conversation. Because your odds at 15 minutes till 9 are pretty slim. Friday on the front porch on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Cool Genius, it's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius, it's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Bubble Genius, we got your soap right here.
And other bath and body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
Come on, it's their honeymoon. How could I not?
It's in times like this that great heaven knows that we wish we had not so many clothes, so let's loosen up with a playful tease, like all lovers did through the centuries.
Which is following into this memory, a for you, which is stripping for me. Which is following into this memory, a for you, which is stripping for me.
When it gets so hot, the end of the your clothes getting in the way. If a pretty dress hides your true desire, only nice and slow, throw it on the fire.
Which is following into this story, if I sit on you, which is sitting on me. Which is following into this story, if I sit on you, which is sitting on me.
Ah. We don't need to see what the butler saw, or a mirrored room with a mirrored floor, all the sneaky looks gazing down on you are no substitute for a rendezvous.
You know, there is breaking news out of the honeymoon suite. Apparently, the upper-class twits were a little confused, trying to figure out just exactly how to go about, well, you know, what goes on a honeymoon. And finally, Kate, the practical one, says, "Darling, take that thing you play with and put it where I pee." So Prince William went to the closet, got his bowling ball, and threw it in the sink. You know, it was hard. It was difficult. And I gotta admit, as I watched those putrid, worthless pieces of crap, I couldn't resist. I had to go and watch clips of The Aristocrats. Perfect. And I'm not going to subject you to The Aristocrats joke. But you probably know what it is. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Here from Dayton.
Pardon?
I gotta say, I love the Squidbillies reference.
Thank you.
I, they probably had the best allegorical comedy about the healthcare debate in the country last year.
That thing's quality across the board.
Oh yeah, a great ending song. You know, the intro's great. I even like that little. I want to say banjo. It doesn't sound like a banjo. It sounds like acoustic electric guitar.
Do you know who that is doing the intro theme? That is none other than the great Billy Joe Shaver.
Yeah, I think he does the voice of Earl from that cartoon too.
No, he doesn't do Earl. He just does the intro music. I'm still trying to find the Christmas episodes because I want to hear the drive-by truckers on the Squidbillies.
Yeah, one of the cuter episodes of that show was when they had widespread panic come to town and basically everybody's trying to talk over this big concert that's going on the entire time. What was another? I also like I can't remember his name, Von Halen or Van Halen or what they're basically their version of the Bonnie Prince Charlie in that culture. That guy is hilarious too. But yeah, that's real cute. This royal wedding crap. I can't tell you how disgusted I am by it too. I'm like you. I've got ancestors that I can trace. In fact, a famous ancestor I can trace back into that battle and that war of independence.
Well, see, and for me, it goes even further back because if that royal family had had their way, and maybe I'm just slow to forget, but this is the absolute honest to God's unflyblown truth. If that royal family had had their way, I would not exist.
Yeah.
Because Mike and Kate, they were all set to take the heads off of Mike and Kate ancestors. There were three brothers. They were all captured, and they were ready to be beheaded. You know, the next time some right-wing freak starts saying, you know, those barbarian Muslims, they cut the heads off people. Well, golly, Ned, do they not know anything about the history of Elizabethan England? There were heads all over the place, and they were ready to behead my Kincaid ancestors, who, by Scott's cunning, got really, really cheap tickets aboard a ship and wound up in the Virginias.
Yep, that's how that happened. My ancestry, people would surely know him, John Paul Jones. Now he became an American by, well, not similar circumstances. He was basically a British ship captain, and in a fit of rage, killed an insubordinate sailor, and he got drummed out of the British Navy for it. So he ends up becoming the grandfather of the modern American Navy, and also the last guy to ever successfully invade British soil.
And then wound up the father of the Russian Navy as well.
Yeah. And now, my luck, he's the one guy that was really high up in the whole revolution that died penniless.
Yeah. Well, see, it's the same. You know, the grunts never do well.
Yeah. Except he wasn't I guess he was a grunt by the way he, you know, managed his ships and everything else.
Well, that and the fact that the Continental Congress insisted that John Paul Jones make bricks without straw, as the saying goes. You know, he had the Bonhomme Richard, isn't that enough? Isn't that enough Navy?
Yeah. Basically, old merchant ships that they basically sawed holes in the side of and put a few rusted out cannons in. To serve as a battleship, you know, that cracked me up too.
Congress, always Congress. It's not like Congress being a bunch of screw ups is anything new.
I see this royal wedding, and I see this, you know, God's anointed couple. Well, first of all, I'm really disgusted by it because we don't go goo-goo gaga in this country, or at least our media doesn't, over any other royal family.
Well, you know, one thing that I noticed that was sort of inescapable, do you remember when Chelsea Clinton got married?
Yeah.
And even some in the uber-liberal community bought into the lies that the right wing told. You know, she had a private wedding. And this is America, and you can spend as much, if you want to be foolish with your money like that, go ahead. But the right wing had an absolute poop hemorrhage over Chelsea Clinton's wedding. How dare they spend that kind of money? At the same time that they holler about the free market and it's our money, but it's not the Clintons. Because, you know, it was, you know, young, beautiful, brilliant, intelligent, engaging Chelsea Clinton, whom Rush Limbaugh once referred to on live national television as the White House dog. And, well, oh, no, they, but there they are, absolutely, absolutely falling all over themselves, just hoping someday that they get to bow their American knees to that old bag of bones.
Well, you also got to remember the modern American right wing. I'm not even going to call it the conservative movement because they're not even conservative anymore. You know, conservative means center right. You know, they kissed that goodbye a long time ago. You know, they're like out in international Jewish banking conspiracy right wing now.
Yeah, no kidding.
The modern right wing, one of its biggest philosophers, Ayn Rand. And basically, Ayn Rand is a woman whose family were big beneficiaries of the Tsar of Russia until the Reds decided that he no longer needs to be in charge. And one of the reasons why I guess the modern corporatist movement, the modern corporate media does, you know, just fawns over this is the closest thing we have to a royal family. You know, we're technically that's basically our long lost mother or whatever, you know, Mother England, you know, birthed the.
Well, yeah, there are some people who want to say that, but the fact of the matter is, there were real hard feelings at the close of the Revolution, and Thomas Jefferson would not have peed on the King of England if he was on fire. Now, Adams, on the other hand, who was a more conservative type, thought that England was just the best thing that ever happened. But there's a much more ground level analysis as well, and that is this: when the Revolution broke out, the people who wanted to continue kissing ass to the royal, kissing up to the royal rump, they left. They either went back to England or up to Canada.
Yep.
While the people who wanted to be free of that that demagoguery and tomfoolery stayed here and slogged it out. And and it always serves to remember the battle of, oddly enough, King's Mountain. Because the Revolution was rocked back on its heels. It was about to fall apart. Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, the lot of them, were about to do the Spandau Ballet. But instead, a bunch of hillbillies, Scots-Irish, gathered together, got good and liquored up, and marched, did a forced march through the Appalachians and fell upon the British and slaughtered them.
Yeah,
and saved Washington's army in the process.
Yeah, and also one thing was to remember about that story about British royalties. The opposing army was made up of British loyalist volunteers.
Absolutely right.
Because I wrote an essay a long time ago for you. It probably wasn't printable for your blog, but because basically it was 10 or 15 pages long. and it discussed that problem. And I always think that's part of a social ill with the South. You know, because there's nothing new under the sun if you're a historian. There really isn't. In fact, are you familiar at all with Ibn Khaldun?
I don't think so.
He was the godfather of modern sociology. I'm sorry, the grandfather of modern sociology. He was an old Islamic writer, a historian at the time, and he was big with the Sufi movement in Islam, and he started analyzing historically, life cycles of a society, of a government, and basically he's a guy who first came up with the sound reasoning that empires eventually become, you know, overrun by their former charges. You know, basically the old colonies overtake the old empires.
Right.
Essentially. Yeah, I've been seeing this wedding crap, and it's not easy for me because, you know, I'm still unemployed. You know, I graduated college in last June, and I still can't find it full-time employment. In fact, I'm kind of glad. Who's the woman from California that the black woman often calls?
Oh, Sandra.
Sandra, yeah. That Sandra told me about that visa stuff, because now I'm thinking I better get a visa, because I've been thinking about leaving.
You know what? You're not, you are not alone in that thought. There's a lot, who do think in that regard.
You know, I don't like saying that, you know, because generally when my family runs from a country, something really bad is going to happen. You know, either to the people inside of it or people they run across. You know, because I'm mostly German. I'm German Scotch. I'm mostly German with a little bit of Scotch in me. That's John Paul Jones family line. You know, although I don't have the last name Jones, I have basically an assumed Scottish name, which always cracks me up. And I'm starting to think, you know, I'm not wanted. I'm not really needed. You know, maybe it's time to look. Maybe it's time to look at the exit. Then, you know, I've taken it to such an extreme that I've actually immigrating to New Zealand or someplace like that.
Well, you've got a shot as long as you're under 45.
Yeah, you know, I'm under 45. I have a college degree. I could work in education because I guess they're still under the old, although they might call it different, the old British system of hiring teachers, which basically means you got to have a bachelor's degree and subject you're trying to teach, and they'll bring you in. But, you know, I've been looking, and I don't like saying that, and, you know, I don't like thinking it. I don't like, you know, anything to do with that idea, and especially, you know, my family, because, you know, this is the place where you come that's supposed to be the greatest place in the world, and when, you know, one of your sons or daughters says, there's nothing here for me, that really starts to concern them.
Sure. And, well, how could it not?
Yeah. And I also, because I really came to this thought process that, you know, technically I'm not really an American. You know, first of all, I'm not rich, so that's number one. And number two, you know, I'm basically the descendant of transients in a foreign land. You know, so, you know, the two things you need to be an actual American, you know, I don't qualify for. and I don't want to leave because I know how, you know, just fat crap crazy everything's going to get, and you know how it's eventually going to reach a breaking point. You know, because it only gets so crazy before finally something snaps.
Yeah, real ugliness.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't mean the buses won't run on time, or there might not be, you know, there might not be as many groceries on the shelves. I mean, you know, stuff that, you know, well, basically stuff that people looked back at in horror in the 90s during the Balkans War, from the fallout of the breakup of the former Yugoslav Republic. Like former, you know, nice little middle class neighborhoods and beautiful metropolises that once hosted the Olympics basically becoming bombed out shells.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that. Stuff that, you know, really creeps you out at night, and because it just doesn't look good. Now, I don't want to run, but it looks like I don't have any choice.
When it's a choice between your neck or your feet, let your feet lead. You know, an old buddy of mine has a saying. He says, free your head, your ass will follow.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and that's really true. Now, on a positive note, because what I'm talking about is fairly depressing, did you watch the draft last night?
No, I did not. I got email updates, but I didn't watch it. No.
Oh, it was hilarious. To show you how bad this country, how much this country thirsts for actual competent leadership, Roger Goodell, who's unfortunately the de facto best commissioner in every professional sports organization in this country, it basically gets booed off the stage every time he's up there.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I'm just disgusted by a guy. And it's just been a really crappy week. You know, first of all, the birther nonsense. The news is canceled. I hope nothing bad happened. Well, 8 American soldiers were turned against by one of their Afghan trainee/charges. Anything else bad happened? Basically, global warming enhanced storms hit the south and basically ran through it like Sherman through Georgia. Anything else? Oh, lots else. You know, we're long-term unemployment's getting worse. 2 million people filled out applications, work at jobs at McDonald's. And it's not looking good, but hey, a royal wedding, and Obama released the birth certificate.
The massive horror that the climate unleashed on the South, you try to put it in a little bit of perspective. I remember April 1974. That was the day and the night when 148 tornadoes in 13 states killed 335 people. Well, by comparison, what we saw Wednesday was 173 tornadoes and a death toll similar and climbing. And this little statistic just really sat me down. Of course, Cutesy Couric and Brian Williams and the rest of the for-profit media couldn't be bothered. But there's this little statistic. One climate expert, Greg Carbon, from the National Weather Service's Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, said that the number of reported tornadoes Wednesday night is more typical for an entire month of April. Now, here's the one that's going to make your blood run cold. This year's national preliminary tornado estimate for April has already hit 600.
Yeah, I consider myself fortunate that we only got rain, although the roof of my apartment leaks, and
I'm right there with you on the leaky roof. I mean, I'm living that right now.
But good Lord. You know, there was, in fact, if that date sounds familiar, you know, the 74 tornado outburst.
That's when Brent, Alabama got completely wiped off the map.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there's a town in Ohio that I think during that same time period.
Oh, the Marietta, not Marietta.
Xenia.
Yes.
Xenia tornado. In fact, now, the one reason why it didn't get completely wiped off the map is it turns out it's not exactly new that massive tornadoes hitting there is all that common. In fact, there's something in the weather pattern in Ohio that makes tornado systems go to Xenia. Nobody can ever figure it out.
It's a magnet.
Yeah, basically it's a magnet for tornadoes, and from primary source documents, we can find out that it's not all that uncommon. In fact, there's been, you know, journal.
But it's a question of the frequency and intensity. One of the follow-up statistics on this one I just shared with you, Mr. Carbon went ahead and said, we will finish out with more in this April than in any month we've seen in the last 60 years.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? The churches down south will be chock full of people praying for divine providence this Sunday. And from the pulpit, they will hear that this is merely the will of God and that there is certainly no such thing as global warming.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to turn on my shortwave later tonight so I can, you know, pick up some of the freak show that comes on late, that goes on shortwave and talks about all types of weird-ass religious American superstitious crap. But lately I haven't been able to do it because there's a local freak show that plays at midnight to 5 a.m. in my area. There's I don't know if you've heard of this radio show. It's called Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, God, sure, yeah. That was Art Bell and then George Norrie and the Aliens Are Coming to Eat Your Seed Bank. Right.
Yeah, I love it. It's for probably not the reason they'd like to hear why I love it, but, oh, it is just hilarious stuff. I mean, I can't get enough of it. Aliens.
Yeah, they could change it. They could change the name of it to Trainwreck Radio because you just can't stop.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's too. And the one thing I do like about it though is it's not necessarily full out evil, like the rest of Clear Channel Radio is. Basically, it's just innocent insanity most of the time.
Yeah, see, Alex Jones kind of started out working Art Bell's side of the street, and then he took it down a much more malevolent path.
Oh yeah, you know, every time I watch it, I always feel like the God character from the show God, the Devil, and Bob. Yeah. He walks in the insane asylum and everyone's like, oh, and all the inmates are like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And Bob is in there. He's like, God, how do they all know you? He says, oh, I love the innocents. Because that's what I feel like when I listen to that show. Oh, I love that stuff. In fact, I'll wake myself up to turn that on and listen to it. Oh, it's just hilarious stuff. Ugh, good Lord. So what do you think? So what do you think's going to happen next with the debt commit with the debt crap?
I think the Republican Party will twist Barack Obama's arm until he capitulates, and he'll have to give away some part of our working class people's legacy in order to get the debt ceiling raised.
I wish
I didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
But I have no evidence to suggest otherwise.
Yeah.
And I have to live a rational life based on evidence.
Yeah. I have that I'm having that problem too. And it's not getting better. Well, I don't know. Eugene Robinson wrote an article a couple days ago that was pretty good about, you know, people's understanding of the deficit. In fact, it's better than the inside the Beltway crowd's understanding of the deficit. You know,
there are some key words out there, and one of them is whenever you hear somebody talking about, well, United States of America has done gone bankrupt. Well, no, it hasn't. It really can't. It's what Sandra mentioned last night about the debt being in the same currency.
Yeah. You know, the debt's in the same currency, so it's manageable. Although it's a big number for, you know, me and you to understand, it's still in its own currency, so it's not completely out of hand yet. And also, it's something you pointed out earlier, it's not a debt problem, it's a revenue problem.
Sure.
You know,
I had one of those little moments. Like I said, I had to go down to Whitesville, which is about an hour and a half away from here. It's probably 20 minutes as the crow flies, but that's not how our roads are laid out.
Yeah.
And I stopped and put a little bit of gasoline in the rusty red pickup truck. And it's one of those things, you know, and I feel like I have to walk the walk if I'm going to talk the talk. And so consequently, standing at the pump, and I was done with what I was putting in, and it was just a sickening amount of money for a depressingly small amount of gasoline. And I was putting my pump away, and another guy was getting ready to start, and I said, irritating, ain't it? $4.10 a gallon. And he said, yeah, it is. And the next words out of my mouth were, well, thank God the Republican Party is out there protecting those corporate welfare government subsidies that you and I pay to keep the oil companies happy. And he looked at me and he said, you said it, brother. And that's, you know, that's where you make a difference.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things like this royal wedding extravaganza and Donald Trump, and those are all, it's what Joe Ray was talking about when he emailed a few minutes ago. And he said, it's all designed to keep people from looking and seeing the folks who are actually doing the dirty business.
Yep.
And that seems plenty simple.
Oh yeah, and that's simple. In fact, more often than not, the most simplest solutions are often the correct solution.
Exactly.
And it's stuff like that. But then again, you know, common sense, you know, table, you know, kitchen top issues, or whatever they call it, you know, basically. Simple economic and social problems are never what American elections about. American elections are about swift votes or Dukakis in a tank or
John Kerry in a sperm suit.
Yeah, Kerry in a sperm suit. And something I've noticed, which is similar to ancient Rome, although I didn't like, I didn't like Roman history. I've always found modern history and medieval history to be much more fascinating. You know, that's just me. But one thing my history professor always pointed out to me when you read primary source documents, when somebody runs for a big position in either the Roman Senate or as Roman emperor, they never often tell them what their policies are going to be. They're going to, you know, tell their really cool life story and use a great self-deprecating speech. And basically, that's what American politics are right now. The speech doesn't have to be based in reality.
It's that clip from The Family Guy where Lois decides to run against Mayor West.
Yeah.
And she's giving these earnest speeches until Brian convinces her to say 9/11 and Jesus a lot.
Yeah. Basically, that's what it's like. And
suddenly she wins.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, we're currently living through that, and I'm looking at this in history, and I'm thinking, shit, this is the end. You know, or at the very least, not the end. It's going to be, you know, lead to a very bloody intermission, or a rather interesting one, to say the least. Because, you know, right now we got a Supreme Court that just doesn't care at all what the legal.
Oh, no, they care. They care about corporate America.
Yeah, they care about oligarchs in corporate America. That's the only thing they care about. The most cruelest ruling by them lately was it was about a poor man in New Orleans who was basically railroaded to the death chamber, to the death row.
Yeah. Oh, and they do that all the time. And every time, they love it every time they get a chance to do that, because that lets fat Tony Scalia, whose father was the head of the Americans for Mussolini movement in the 30s, that lets fat Tony Scalia write that thing in yet another constitutional opinion, in which he says, well, the Constitution does not guarantee you the right not to be executed for a crime you didn't commit.
Oh, yeah, and this was even crueler. Basically, the prosecutor confessed right before he died that they railroaded this guy. And this guy was offered a civil suit, a civil payment, on top of his getting his name cleared. And the Supreme Court right wing five just up and ruled that the town or the community that appointed this judge or elected this judge cannot be held liable for its wrongdoing, which in legalese is
no, because crazy. as long as they acted in good faith. Oh, Jesus, makes me crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But there was no good faith. The guy was lying.
No, but fat Tony Scalia will always make some up, even if he doesn't have any handy. Hey, I got to roll on, but it's been a great conversation tonight.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
And don't be a stranger, all right?
All right.
Take care. Bye now. About 2 minutes before the hour. And, okay, 1 minute before the hour. The computer loses time over the course of a program. We'll come back to more of your calls after a little break. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn.
We'll be right back. sent you. You'll get it later.
Oh, that's better.
Let the queen up. Give the queen some air. She's been so good to all of us.
Ooh. Ooh.
There's a naughty bit of crumpet.
Oh, Your Majesty.
How's it going, Marie? It's good to be the king.
Of interest along the way. May Day is coming up. May the 1st. Source of ancient fertility rites and such like. To date with much more and different meaning for me. Well, sort of different. On May the 1st of 2011... Agnes and I will have been married 18 years. So we've got an anniversary coming up. I'm thinking about trying to talk her into... Because you have to talk Agnes into letting you do something nice for her. If you don't ask, honey, can I do something nice for you first? It's a real problem. But, you know, we're all family here, so I just thought I'd let you know that's coming up. Suggestions are more than appreciated. And, you know, a couple of things before I do go back to the phones. And you know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. A couple of things. I mentioned the Battle of Kings Mountain a few moments ago. A man by the name of Samuel Doak, the Reverend Samuel Doak, was largely responsible for getting them liquored up hillbillies all fired up to go and slaughter them some British loyalists and the British commander and so forth. It happened on September the 26th, 1780. And when you watch the disgusting fawning of the for-profit media over this spectacle across the pond, you really do. I mean, I mentioned it earlier. How have we fallen so far from our initial dreams of freedom? Samuel Doak said to those assembled on the 26th of September, 1780, "My countrymen, you are about to set out on an expedition which is full of hardships and dangers, but one in which the Almighty will attend you. The mother country has her hands upon you, these American colonies, and takes that for which our fathers planted their homes in the wilderness, our liberty. Taxation without representation and the quartering of soldiers in the homes of our people without their consent are evidence that the crown of England would take from its American subjects the last vestige of freedom. Your brethren across the mountains are crying like Macedonia unto your help. God forbid that you shall refuse to hear and answer their call. But the call of your brethren is not all. The enemy is marching hither to destroy your homes." Brave men, you are not unacquainted with battle. Your hands have already been taught to war and your fingers to fight. You have wrested these beautiful valleys of the Holston and Watauga from the savage hand. Will you tarry now until the other enemy carries fire and sword to your very doors? No, it shall not be. Go forth, then, in the strength of your manhood, to the aid of your brethren, the defense of your liberty, and the protection of your homes, and may the God of justice be with you and give you victory. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, Thou hast been the refuge and strength of Thy people in all ages. In time of sorest need, we have learned to come to Thee, our rock and our fortress. Thou knowest the dangers and snares that surround us on march and in battle. Thou knowest the dangers that constantly threaten the humble but well-beloved homes which Thy servants have left behind them. Oh, in Thine infinite mercy, save us from the cruel hand of the savage and of tyrant. Save the unprotected homes while fathers and husbands and sons are far away fighting for freedom and helping the oppressed. Thou, who promised to protect the sparrow in its flight, keep ceaseless watch, by day and by night, over our loved ones. The helpless woman and little children we commit to Thy care. Thou wilt not leave them or forsake them in times of loneliness and anxiety and terror. O God of battle, arise in Thy might. Avenge the slaughter of Thy people. Confound those who plot for our destruction. Crown this mighty effort with victory and smite those who exalt themselves against liberty and justice and truth. Help us, good as good soldiers, to wield the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Amen. And every single American citizen who tuned into that filth in England today spat on those brave men who crossed that mountain to make sure there would yet be freedom in America. I'll not shy from this. It was 9 or 10 generations ago. But those thug royals begrudged me and mine what little freedom we had in the hills and hollers of Scotland. I'll not abase their blood by acting as though something good happened in London today. No, by God, I'll not. Email coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Bob, if you were talking about the Louisiana man who just missed being executed because of lies and malfeasance on the part of the DA was none other than Harry Connick Sr., the father of Harry Connick Jr., crooner and actor. P.S. Did you know that The Fountainhead was also a box office flop? Gary Cooper didn't understand the closing soliloquy. And part of the reason Gary Cooper didn't understand the closing soliloquy was because Ayn Rand was actually there and insisted that she have directorial control over how Gary Cooper, delivered each and every word. They had to cut, as that hag insisted that it be shot and reshot and reshot according to the way she heard it in her head because she was an artiste. No kidding. We're going to go back to the phones, and I gotta get time. Need a good 15-20 minutes for some stuff. I've got to. Well, you gotta hear this note from Scott in Sweden. You just got to. Hey, welcome to the program,
Brother Bob
Cossack.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Surviving, luckily. Still burying people here in Bama.
Yeah.
But not to fear, there is no such thing as global climate change. And we should never...
Nope, just the whirling, swirling finger of the Almighty.
We should never have glommed onto the phrase global warming because these people are such idiots, they take it literally. Well, see, it snowed this year, so there must not be any global warming.
Yeah, we done been out in space, and it ain't like there's one of them butane burners like I use with my turkey fryer sitting under the planet warming the globe.
There, I mean, okay, it snowed in Washington this winter. Well, so what? Don't you understand that it gets both hotter and colder? That the storms get more intense, so there are more of them? That is why we had all those bloody tornadoes tear through here. And this is like 74. It's worse than 74.
Yeah, there were not in excess of 600 tornadoes in April of 1974. There just weren't.
No. And they're expecting a more active hurricane season. They've already had hurricanes starting to develop in the Azores. This isn't even June yet. Hello?
Yeah, if we get the number of named storms that they expect, we will be up through the letter L.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
Yeah. Well, you know, we forget that the same year we had Katrina, they went into the R's.
Yeah.
You know? Oh. And as to that thing across the pond, wasn't the House of Windsor the House of Hanover up until the First World War? Then they decided it might be a good idea.
Right, exactly. And they, well, you know, when you're them, you don't have to go to court and get the name changing. We are now the Windsors.
And I have absolutely no use for the House of Windsor anyway. When when Nicky was begging his cousin, his first cousin, to shelter the royal family, he basically said, screw you. You're on your own. Have a nice day. It's a hell of a way to treat family.
But not if you're that family.
Well, if you're that family, Jesus God. I mean, yeah, the House of Windsor is rich beyond belief. All of their castles.
I mean, really, if you made that family go to work, Cossack, couldn't you solve a whole lot of England, the UK's economic ills? I mean, really, couldn't you?
Well, if you expropriate all their properties, yeah, easily.
Those however many thousands of civil servants that just got ditched unceremoniously, who are losing jobs this month, not a one of them would have had to have been canned, right?
Correct. And they wouldn't have had to triple and quadruple the fees for colleges and so forth. You wouldn't have to boost tuition to the point to where you had people out in the streets screaming bloody murder. And there's a good reason why they were. I mean, we tend to forget this because we are so fee-based over here, but most of the rest of the world, in the civilized world, going to college is free, essentially. You know?
Yeah.
Post-secondary education is free. If you've got the grades and you can hack the work, you get in, which will never happen here, for example. And why not? I don't know. I mean, let's think about this, Bob. Why couldn't the U.S. government, for example, like many, many European governments, hand out, let's say, with the birth of a child, they give you $1,000, you know, in trust, until the kid's 18th birthday. You know, by that point, you...
It doesn't seem like rocket science, does it?
No. And, you know, we want children. We want people to go out there and breed. We want them spreading their seed all over the place. Well, why the hell don't we do something about it? You know, we love to say how much we care about children. It seems like we only care about children in the abstract, in the womb. As soon as they pop out, yo-yo, you're on your own.
Here's an apple on a roadmap, kid. Good luck.
Yeah. We expect you to start working in the mines, separating the coal and the stone.
Yeah, and you know, that was another one of those things that just drove me nuts. Was the glossing over? Well, when they weren't making it sound like coal miner was something vile, they were busily glossing over the fact that that girl's parents weren't no coal miners.
No,
they're millionaires.
Of course, she went to all the best schools in England. That's how she met her boy.
Yeah, probably at one of, and who knows? Maybe she was really, really attracted by that fetching Nazi uniform that he liked to wear.
God. And you know, I forgot where I read it, but it's a very good question. Will someone put the question to Paul Ryan? Because in his budget, he zeroes out little things like FEMA and the National Weather Service, among other things.
Well, you know, that's because that's liberalism.
That is, oh God.
You know, I wish I gotta have a conversation with Matt Osborne, because I'm kind of out of place saying this from up here. But like I said, Robert Bentley, the governor of Alabama, said today, Alabamians are strong people. And we care about each other, and we're going to help each other out of this. And I would love to see Matt put electrons to monitor, instead of pen to paper, I guess, and say, Americans are strong people. And Americans, New Yorkers, Pennsylvanians, Californians, Oregonians, you know, liberals are going to help pull us out of that with liberal policies called federal emergency disaster relief that Paul Ryan is trying to kill with the connivance of Republican members of the House from the state of Alabama.
And isn't it remarkable how all these state governors, as soon as they have a levee break, like in Arkansas and Missouri, and when they have hurricanes, when they have tornadoes, all of a sudden it's, we're applying for disaster status. Please help us, help us.
Oh, I thought Malloy was going to have an on-air aneurysm the other night when he was talking about Texas Governor Rick Goodhair Perry. Not wasting any time about asking for them federal disaster funds.
Oh yeah.
Well, damn, Rick, I thought you was going to secede, buddy. Make up your mind, or off the pot, fish, cut bait, one or the other. Can't do both.
Oh, speaking of the 1st of May, you know that cute little ditty, right? Hooray, hooray, the 1st of May, outdoor begins today.
Oh, yes. And I ain't saying nothing about whether or not that's applicable or apropos.
Hey, that's when the weather heats up a bit. And
you're still trying to get me in trouble. You're still trying to make me say something. I'm going to say something.
Yeah, it's kind of like the couple of.
But you know what? That's not applicable anymore with global climate change. You know what the low temperature here in the hills and hollers is going to be tonight?
No.
35.
Holy crap.
I expect that at 10,000 feet in Utah.
Yeah.
I'm at 1,300 feet. We're going to have frost tonight.
Christ.
And all of those hard-working, dedicated gardeners has done got their tomato plants out and their little... it's going to freeze, and they're going to go out and spend another $100 on tomato plants. It's crazy.
I mean, it only went down to 50 or something like that. I think last night that was the lowest temperature we've seen in weeks.
Yeah. In 35. You know, we've already put the sweaters away and the heavy coats. Margie's prom is tomorrow night, and I'm gonna have to loan her my heavy wool top coat, because that little prom dress she borrowed, it ain't insulated.
No, there's nothing there to insulate.
Yeah, it ain't her prom parka.
No. Those things are a little bit gauzy and not the warmest.
Diaphanous. Let's work with diaphanous.
There you go. And, you know, what I was saying is, like the boyfriend and girlfriend who are coming home late at night, and, he's at a loss for words, looking around, notices that, the dew point's gone down. Some dew on the grass. She looks at him. I don't.
Yeah, you know, that, lips that touch liquor shall never touch mine. Your lips? Yeah. No, my liquor. Oh, I just did. Yeah. Well, hey, Cossack, great conversation. Have a good weekend, will you, buddy?
You too, Bob. Take care and say hi to everybody for me.
Oh, I sure will. We'll see you.
All right.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, I love little notes like this. I just got a note from Kellum. You've quickly become my favorite talk show host with your truly southern quips. I'm from Crappissippi. I've heard it called a lot of things, but I've never heard it called Crappissippi. Oh, I gotta get busy real quick and confirm that friend request. I got a feeling this is gonna be fun. Let's see. Let's keep things going. Or not. Okay. So I promised you something earlier, and I hate not to follow through on promises. I woke up this morning. You know that Scott in Sweden has been for quite a while now a supporter of the horn, as so many of you are. And I got up this morning to see a note from Scott about that, followed by another note. And this was just hell on wheels at 8 o'clock this morning. And it still is. The subject line of the email from Scott in Sweden says, "New, revised, the Donald Trump edition of the classic game of Monopoly." Paren R close paren exclamation point. Now before we go there, God, do I have this here? Hang on. No, I bet I can find it though. Nah, I'm not gonna play it. I've got a clip here. From our good buddy Dave Nywert over at Crooks and Liars, called "Donald Talks Dirty to the Ladies," which immediately put me in mind of the classic Gilda Radner bit, "Let's Talk Dirty to the Animals." Donald talks dirty to the ladies. Trump launches an obscenity-laced rant in Vegas. In a Vegas talk to GOP women. Okay, so let's just get this all squared away. This is Donald and that thing on his head addressing fine, upstanding, God-fearing, Jeebus-loving, repig-licking women folk. And I mean, they're so fine and upstanding, virtuous. They wouldn't say shit if they had a mouthful. But wait for the applause. Apparently, they like it when other people do. This is really special.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that so-called birther issue, because yesterday I was traveling up to New Hampshire. And I got a call. I was in a helicopter. I got a call in the helicopter. I was just about to exit the chopper. And what happens? I hear that Obama finally gave his birth certificate.
Note, it's not Mr. Obama. It's not President Obama. It's just Obama. They will not even accord him the basic respect of title to which the chief magistrate of the United States is by dint of election entitled. Just say
it. I got such credit for that because I accomplished something that nobody else had accomplished. Everybody said, they all said, you know.
Damn, is this a meeting of Republican women or is this a clavern? Listen to that hooting and hollering.
Hillary Clinton tried to get him to do it. Bill Clinton tried to get him to do it. John McCain, who's a wonderful guy, tried to get him to do it. Nobody could get him to do it.
Another moment. Hillary Clinton tried to get him to do it. Bill Clinton tried to get him to do it. John McCain, who's a wonderful guy. See how it works? See the framing? How about John McCain, who wasn't even born in the United States, not even in the canal zone, tried to get him to do it, and he's a wonderful guy. How about that? Yeah.
And he did it because we went after him hard.
Yeah.
We're tough negotiators.
Yeah, he's a tough negotiator. That's why he's been through those bankruptcies with other people's money.
I just ask one thing. Why didn't he do it 2 or 3 years ago? Why does he have to put this country through turmoil, which is what it's going through right now? I'll give you an example. Obamacare is a disaster. You have to have a cheerleader. You know, I've seen the best politicians I've dealt with all. Somebody said, but Donald, you're running for president. But do you have any experience in politics? I've dealt with these freaking politicians all my life. Did you see?
Yeah, Donald, you've been collecting corporate welfare from these freaking politicians all your life.
Recently, where a couple of days ago, Saudi Arabia said, let's raise the price. Let's cut back production. Can you believe it? You're going to be paying $5 and $6 a gallon for gasoline pretty soon. And they want to go in and raise the price of oil.
But, Donald, that's your beloved unseen hand of the free market, which writes and having writ moves on. Why do you hate America, Donald?
Because we have nobody in Washington that sits back and said, you're not going to raise that fucking price. You understand?
Or what, dumbass? Or what? You'll bomb them? You'll nuke them? You'll drop a thermonuclear device on the Kaaba in Mecca? That one plays well with the oatmeal dribblers, Donald. Why don't you try that one? In other words, Donald says he's going to bring his business strategy to the White House. And it's a business strategy founded upon plain, old-fashioned, stinking larceny. And listen to him cheer. Listen to him cheer. All them upstanding, God-fearing, Jeebus-loving, repig-licking women, whoo, they love it when he talks dirty to them. Oh, they throwing their panties at the stage like it's done been an Elvis concert.
So they form a group, and they go in, and Obama talks about the regime, maybe not, and we don't want to kill anybody, we don't want to hurt anybody, we do want to change government, but we don't want to hurt. Nobody knows what the hell he's talking about. And you know the other thing about Libya that really bothers me, because we get back again, it always gets back to China, because while we're spending billions of dollars being policemen of the world, China's spending billions of dollars a day buying the world and calling us stupid. You know, I have a lot of friends. I just sold recently an apartment.
Really? Really? And calling us stupid? I see a lot of press releases out of China. I haven't seen where Hu Jintao has called us stupid. But you see, in repig-licking world, you can just make crap up. And the Spring Mountain Republican Women's Club will just sit there and throw another pair of panties because they all worked up. Because you're talking dirty to them, Donald.
$33 million. Can you believe it? Only in New York can this happen. But an apartment was just sold in a building that I have on Central Park West, $33 million, to a Chinese gentleman. And I get to know a lot of guys and a lot of big people from China. And they look at me. This is before, you know, by the way, about 2 months ago, they stopped talking.
Big people from China? Who's he talking about? Yao Ming?
To me, sorry. saying, shit, do you believe we're talking to this guy? Now maybe something...
Mavis, he used the brown word. Throw your bra, too.
It's gonna happen. They see these balls. North Korea says, holy shit, this is bad news. This is a little bit more than we count on. And I explained this 3 weeks ago for the first time. So what we do is very simple. We stay. We get our ExxonMobils and we get our great oil companies. We go in there. We give plenty to Iraq.
Wait a minute. The last time we were using the adjective great, you had to say great constitution. Now they're great oil companies.
More than they're getting now because it's all obsolete crap. They don't even know what they're doing and they never will. I mean, you think they're going to be a democracy? Who here thinks they're going to be a democracy? I'm giving you a point. And, you know, there's a real good chance no matter what happens, I won't win. Because, you know, one of these blood-sucking politicians who's been bullshitting people for years will end up, you know, getting elected. And they'll end up leaving and, you know, somebody else will win. When I see what China's doing, I'll give you a little China story also. China, I said the other day, very, very hard to buy anything. Outside of China, or certain other countries also, but China's, you know, the one. And I said, somebody said, well, what would you do? What can you do? So easy. I drop a 25% tax on China. And, you know, I said to somebody that is really the messenger.
Yeah, because, you know, Billy Bob Bubba Joe is just going to love it. Is just gonna love it when his old Roy dog food down to the local Wally World goes up 25%, Donald. You stupid bastard. The only people on this planet that need 25% dropped on them is your class! And then America will get well. Because, you know, the numbers don't lie. When you tax the rich, the economy thrives. When you don't, you go swirling down. Well, you know what you swirl down.
The messenger is important. I could have one man say, we're going to tax you 25%. And I could say another, listen, you motherfuckers, we're going to tax you 25%.
Oh, Mavis, just get naked and run up. Let's just rip his clothes off and do him right there on the stage. Oh, I love it when strong Republican men use them strong Republican words that we go to church all the time and say we wouldn't say but and shouldn't be said, but we really like it when we do. It's kind of like when Deacon Pastor Fred tells everybody not to get liquored up when he's in the pulpit on Sunday, but he's the first one at the door of the state store come Monday. Hoo-wee! Oh, I tell you, that Donald Trump, he's going to be a savior of America. He's going to tell America to go get effed. He's going to tell China to go get effed. He's just going to tell everybody, whole wide world, go get effed. And use that mother F word and all them other fun permutations of the F word. Because that's a sign that somebody really, really understands the world. Let's have a little fun now. Let's go back to Scott's email. New, revised, the Donald Trump edition of the classic game of Monopoly. Hello, Bob, and all my fellow hornies. Due to an apparent glitch on the internet, I miraculously am using the special NSA version of Google Earth. This has allowed me to peer into the showroom of the gift shop at Trump Towers. And there I could see the brand new Donald Trump edition of the classic game of Monopoly. Luckily, or not, the rainforest mahogany lid happened to be open, and the engraved copper rules plaque, complete with the Trump coat of arms, inlaid in gold, was clearly visible. I zoomed in and read the new revised rules. If we poor hornies can just get over our disappointment of not being able to afford the platinum playing board, It is indeed possible to still play this game using the cheap, chaffing cardboard version with the duct-taped corners of the original box somewhere in the kid's closet. So here are the new rules. The player with the highest real-world personal income and or total real-world assets is automatically Donald Trump, gets the top hat token, and must wear regionally appropriate, asterisk, regionally appropriate in New York City, a brown rat will do nicely, regionally appropriate roadkill atop his head. He also gets all of the remaining tokens to sell at auction to all of the other players. The Donald is the banker, and no audit or transparency is required of the bank, seeing as he is such an outstanding citizen already. Thus, the Donald may store all Monopoly currency at any place of his choosing, and without having to disclose where said funds are stored, nor be required to display these funds in full public view. The Donald begins with $10,000 with an option of borrowing unlimited amounts from his own bank at no interest at any time of his choosing, two asterisks, for the Donald player's eyes only. There's a secret drawer on the left side of the mahogany box containing Monopoly money in denominations of $5,000, $10,000, and $50,000. This is for emergency use only. Experience has shown the sudden appearance of these denominations raises troublesome questions amongst other players. However, slipping a $500 or, if necessary, $1,000 bill under the table to the complaining opponents is usually enough to weather the crisis. All other players get to start with a pair of bootstraps purchased for $20 and a $500 credit card before the auctioning of the tokens with 13.36% fixed rate cards or 14.41% variable rate cards due when the player passes go. The Donald inherits from his father the high value property of each color group already paid in full, as well as the Pennsylvania Railroad and the Electric Company. The Donald rolls first and has the first right of refusal of any number shown on the dice. If the number shown is unacceptable, the Donald may roll again until such time as a satisfactory number is returned on the dice. All other players are obligated to move their token the number of pips shown on the dice and have no right of refusal. They are required to accept their lot. Note: only the Donald has a right of refusal for the number shown. Furthermore, as the city's outstanding citizen, should the Donald decide that an opponent's roll was overly advantageous for the opponent, the Donald may litigate in front of a favorable court to have that roll annulled and a new roll is ordered. Note: due to the new property rights instituted by the Tea Party to be similar to those of 1772, only the Donald has sufficient property at the start of the game to be eligible to serve as judge and jury in his special property court. If by some chance at the end of the game an opponent has won, there may be a new election for judge and jury. Votes to be counted in Waukesha County, Wisconsin, as supervised by County Clerk Kathy Nicholas, with the results stored in an access file on her personal computer. The Donald is exempt from the go-to-jail square, as well as each go-directly-to-jail card. Concerning the latter, should the Donald get a go-directly-to-jail card, the Donald may interpret that to mean that an opponent of his choice will serve time in his stead, and the Donald gets to collect the $200 even in the case of the opponent not needing to go past the go square. Upon landing any token on an unpurchased property, the following shall apply. Non-Donald players. Should the non-Donald player wish to purchase the property, purchase shall take place as a subprime mortgage loan from the bank, plus an additional 20% realtor's fee payable to Mr. Trump's bank. The Donald shall be exempt from having to pay for lodgings in any house or hotel built on said property until the subprime mortgage has been repaid to the bank's satisfaction or the purchaser of the property has completed 25 rounds of the board, beginning at the time of purchase for that property. Note: the 25-round rule is only valid as long as the player is not in debt. The count commences anew for that property when said non-Donald player is solvent once again. 2. Should the non-Donald player decline to purchase the property, the Donald player has the first right of refusal on the terms listed below in subsection 3. Should the Donald player decline to purchase the property, it is auctioned off and purchased under the terms of subsection 1 above. 3. Donald player. Should the Donald player wish to purchase the property, purchase shall take place on a cash-only basis at a 25% discount for using cash. 4. Should the Donald player decline to purchase the property, then it is auctioned off and purchased under the terms of subsection 1 above. Free parking. In this deluxe version of the game, players must decide in advance which of the two alternatives to use concerning the free parking square. 1. Whenever a player pays out cash as a result of a chance or community chest card, the money is put onto the center of the board. Then anybody who lands on free parking gets to take all the cash that is accumulated up to that point, under the proviso that said player is incorporated, three asterisks. Incorporated, for the purposes of this game, an incorporated player is one whose net monopoly assets exceed $10,000 at the start of the game. See Section 1. In other words, it ain't you. Is eligible for jury duty and does not have any liens imposed on his or her property. 2. A player landing on free parking does not receive any money, property, or any reward of any kind. This is just a free resting space. This shall also apply to the Donald player because this is America and everyone is treated equally. Community chest and chance cards. These shall be played in accordance with the standard Monopoly rules, with the exception that the Donald player is not obligated to read his or her card aloud or disclose its contents and may simply deposit or withdraw funds on the honor system. This is known as corporate self-regulation. Any player is caught colluding or conspiring against the interests of the player with the most cash and or monopoly assets will be declared an illegal trade union and be required to surrender their 401k or other pension funds, which in terms of this game means 33% of net monopoly assets per infraction. Bankruptcy and debtor's prison. Upon exhaustion of all funds, a player may be declared bankrupt by the bank and all monopoly assets seized. Because the bankrupt player still rightfully owes money to the bank, or theoretically some other player, the player declared bankrupt is placed in jail, which also serves as debtor's prison, although their token is now represented by a collection agency and continues in play. All income that token subsequently earns shall be paid to the bank until such time, if ever, all debts are repaid, with the collection agency collecting a 33% surcharge. The bank's player, i.e. the Donald, moves the token for the collection agency. 4 asterisks. If you are confused as to whether the collection agency, the bank, city government, and Top Hat are one and the same, then these new instructions have served their secondary purpose well. Any debts that token accrues while the player is sitting in debtor's prison must be paid off by the imprisoned player prior to release from prison. If at the end of the game the debtor has not yet paid off the winner in monopoly money and has no monopoly money left, the winner of the game is entitled to encumber real-world assets or sexual favors in the case of Beauty Queens. All other monopoly rules not revised, the above remain in force. In the case of dispute, the city's outstanding citizen is the final arbitrator of the meaning and intent of all rules of the game. Enjoy. You know what? I don't want to play that game. Not at all. But God, what a beautiful piece of satire. Like I said, that did my head in when I read it this morning. I've been itching all day to share that with you. So, we got a few minutes left in the program. Let's go to the phones. Thank you, Scott, by the way. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how's it going? How's it going, Haven?
Hey, Haven, what's up, man?
Man, Trump is so American. He's so Americana. Excuse me. He is so... Now, he reminds me of a character that shoulda, coulda, woulda been in Bowling for Columbine.
Ooh.
And
that works.
You know, yeah, yeah. He reminds me of, he is the guy who would have offered the gun at the bank. You know, when you open a checking account there, they give you a gun.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yes. It was insane. On the other hand, it is Vegas, and you know those, everybody in there was pretty good liquored up.
It was held in a Trump property haven, so they probably put water in the liquor.
It watered it down a little. Yeah, this guy, I decided to read up in his biography a little bit. I didn't go to Wikipedia. I just scoured some stuff on the web. And he went to a military, sort of a military institute, as a high schooler.
Isn't that where you send the kids who can't, you know,
Right, who were a handful and was really needed some discipline, is how they put it in the biography. And apparently he did pretty well there, but that was the 60s, and I guess he thought that a career in the military was not necessarily where his forte should have been.
He, like Dick Cheney, Haven, probably had other priorities.
Apparently, yeah. But he's very gangster.
But we still haven't seen that. We still haven't seen the draft card.
I think you would think someone might, maybe someone is going to get around to asking him about his draft card.
Well, but the for-profit Media Haven is probably scared half to death of the very prospect of doing that, because he might call them MFers or something, or be mean to them. Or write a scathing op-ed to the New York Times with impeccably unbearable bad grammar.
Exactly. I mean, he is just—he's such a hypocrite, just such a—and unashamedly just going for it. Just go for it, you know. I mean. How many times has this guy gone bankrupt? At least like three, right?
Two that I know of right off the top of my head.
Okay.
But he's never. But the important thing here is that he's never gone personally bankrupt. He always goes bankrupt with somebody else's money. I mean, my God, the man runs casinos, and the casinos run in the red. How do you do that? I mean, to the roulette. I mean, I'm not a gambling guy, Haven, but I want to go to a Trump casino and just play everything.
Right.
Because the guy can't make money with a license to make money. I mean, we all know how a roulette wheel works, right? You got a one in God knows what chance. And I guess people are cleaning him up. Blackjack?
You would think. You would think so.
And those stupid three-handed poker games that it's impossible to win at? You know, it's beginning to resemble something. Remember the off-the-beaten-path casino in Vegas Vacation? Where instead of games like blackjack and roulette, they had games like Guess the Number I'm Thinking Of?
Okay, right. Yeah.
Okay, I guess at Trump Casino they've got that only. What's pick a number between 1 and 10, 9. Oh, damn, you got me. You know.
But, you know, I bet you, I would be almost willing to bet rent money that this guy owns or has part ownership in several casinos or whatever in some Arab country. Certain. Bahrain or Dubai
Yeah. Well, you know, Zatoichi in the chat room just said, Bob, I live in Vegas, and Trump Towers does shitty business. He says, I've been driving taxi 5 months and have had only one drop once dropped off someone there. So that, you know, tells you a little something.
Exactly. But, I mean, he's a brand. He's just moving money around and living the life.
I'd say it's past being a brand. He's a rating, and that's why as in my conversation with David from Maine, that's why that Jerome Corsi won't give interviews until May 18th thing is the way it is, because this is all just a big blow off to try to get the Apprentice renewed for next season. Because this is the beauty of it. If the Apprentice gets renewed for next season, Trump can't run for president.
Right.
But if the Apprentice gets canned, then maybe he can. And so he's praying to God that he gets renewed. That man doesn't go, because you know what? America is not up for a presidential debate in which Barack Obama, at least I hope it's not, in which Barack Obama says, we have serious problems and we need to find serious answers. and Donald Trump hollers, "You MF-er." Or am I wrong? Or would America just eat that up? I like him. He talks plain like the boys down to the bait shop do.
They would get the ratings. They would definitely get the ratings. You remember how the interview with Obama, Super Bowl Sunday, Bill O'Reilly and Obama, and that was, you know, hyped up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this would be the same thing.
I think you're absolutely right. Hey, Haven, I'm sorry I got to you so late, brother. Hopefully next time, not so much, though. But I got to roll out of here. Have a great weekend. Bye now. And it is the weekend. And I hope you have a great one. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. You, all of you, first and foremost, who kindly contribute to keep it going. You know what? We are actually down to needing only 25 more, because amazing things have happened in the last 3 hours. Only 25 more contributors to the Thrifty 250, and we're there. We've made it for April, just in under the wire. Thanks to our chat room moderator, Lottie. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Reverbo. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch, who's raising funds over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy.